testimonies a little bit about what Bub told you about what this fellow said. He'll remain nameless. He used a name, but that wasn't his real name.
No. No, he's, you know, I'm not even going to use any names at all.
And you mentioned something to me earlier when we were visiting about this, is that he's not necessarily so afraid of prison time or something like that, but he'll lose all his benefits.
Yeah, I get the impression that this individual is either close to retirement in the military or has already retired recently, and that's the reason he's come forth with this. However, he certainly wouldn't want any links back to him, because that's the one thing that the government could do great harm to him with, is to take away his retirement benefits. So I think that's one of his main reasons for keeping silent. And certainly we want to honor that. So the information that I'm going to tell you is basically what Bud told me. There will be a few more details in whatever Bud ends up publishing.
So he is going to try to write something about it?
Yes, and that will be in the Intruders Foundation bulletin that comes out every few months.
If I remember correctly, isn't December the month when Bud has his fundraisers?
Yes, there is one. I believe it's December 8th. I'm not exactly sure. It's on a Saturday night. And it'll be
he's quite the painter. A lot of people don't understand that, but he is.
Yes, he's a very accomplished artist. Mm-hmm. And some of his works have sold in New York City for upwards of $100,000.
Well, that's quite
the painter. Something about his capabilities.
Yeah, right. I'm impressed. Especially since I can't do a trace a picture and make it turn out right. So he had this this appearance by this Air Force officer.
Right.
He was stationed on a SAC base, a Strategic
right.
Air Command.
This is what happened. This was back in 1965 or 6, I believe. Bud said 65, but it was either that or 66. And the location I cannot reveal because that would help pin this person down. But it was a SAC base. It was somewhere out in the middle of the country. There were a number of people involved in this sighting. This was not one person or two people reporting a UFO flying over a SAC base. This was a close encounter, basically of the third kind. this was spacecraft, UFOs approaching personnel in the Air Force. I get the impression that these people were, probably like Air Force security people. They were actually guarding the airplanes out on the field because these planes contain nuclear weapons. In order to have this job, you have to have, basically a top secret clearance, if not above. And so there was a fairly large contingent of people. The exact number I'm unsure of, but I'm guessing that you're talking maybe 20 to 30 individuals involved in this sighting. And what they reported is that in the distance they saw a number of lights heading very rapidly towards the airbase, and starting off at a fairly high altitude and descending. They got to the end of the runway, these lights, and they could start discerning that there were shapes, and these were apparently disc-shaped craft with lighting on the edges and on the bottom. And the craft came along the runway, approached the parked B-52 bombers with weapons aboard, and they were hovering at an altitude of several feet, and I'm talking here, 2 to 3 feet off of the ground, off of the runway, in between. between the planes.
Now, do we have any idea how big these saucer-shaped craft are?
They're pretty, quote, standard size for the small disc-shaped craft, about 30 feet in diameter. And
now, did the security forces fire on this craft? You know, George Feiler told the story about seeing security forces at McGuire Air Force Base shoot and kill an alien one time, or an extraterrestrial.
Well, yes, indeed, they did fire upon the craft. In other words, these are unknown craft making an obvious security breach on a SAC base, and their job is to protect the aircraft and the nuclear weapons. So, indeed, they did open fire on the UFOs. And this is all taking place in a relatively dark environment. Bud pointed out to me that the only light out on the field, because these planes were parked, you know, this was late at night, there's always planes, on rotation for duty, especially back in the 60s, you know, they had these things taking off and they'd stay in the air for 24 hours and they would rotate. But the planes were, this was the middle of the night. You're dealing with basically a dark runway area. Mm-hmm. The only lighting was from the flashlights of the team members here, the security team members.
So the saucer craft weren't lit?
No, they were. And the lighting from the craft themselves.
Okay.
All right. When they opened fire on the craft, this is one of the more interesting aspects of this story, is they had tracer bullets, so they could actually see where the bullets were going. And as they were firing, they noticed that the bullets did not ricochet off the side of the craft, or penetrate. They literally bent around the craft itself. It's almost like there was a gravitational field there that was so strong that it was changing the flight path of the bullets.
A magnetic sponge.
Or something.
Well, I've heard many reports, from people who have studied these things that evidently these saucers, UFOs, for lack of a better term, because they're not all saucers anymore. We have triangles, flying triangles, cigar shapes, all kinds of shapes.
Mm-hmm.
They have something to do with gravity. I mean, manipulating it. I mean, they can go from a standing start to, like we always kid about Star Trek, hitting warp speed or something.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense if you stop and think about it, about
right.
The bullets just kind of getting sponged off and thrown away.
Right. So as far as these craft were concerned, they were under attack, but they were totally able to defend themselves.
I guess it was Debrief City after that.
Right. And there was no response, incidentally. In other words, even though these people are there, if you can imagine a firefight, with 20 or 30 personnel all firing machine guns at the same time, it must have been quite a show. But there was no response from the UFOs other than the fact that it eventually they just departed the area. And afterwards, as you were saying, I'm sure that, all these personnel were debriefed, and they were given a cover story, which was they had been participating in an experiment involving hallucinatory drugs, which they had all been given earlier in the evening, and that's the reason they saw, or they thought they saw what they did.
And this happened in 66?
Yes.
You know, it's interesting, we're going to break down with the sports and come back with the UFO sightings. It's interesting that the little radio transmission we used from Edwards Air Force Base was also recorded in 1966.
Yes, it is, Jerry. A lot of things happened during that period of time.
Yeah, we'll be back in a moment.
135. Your signal should have been about a 140.